1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden in Madison, Wisconsin, taking to the stage at a rally today, trying to shore up support following his poor debate performance. He's vowing to stay in the race. The president later will sit for an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos that airs tonight. ABC's Selena Wang is there.
I've spoken to lawmakers, donors, allies who are really watching for any slip-ups, flubs, missteps, and that's really going to be a signal for them about what they're going to do moving forward. Are they going to publicly come out? Are they going to work behind the scenes to try and make some changes there? So really a make or break it moment. The stakes really could not be higher for the president right now.
Voters in the UK ushered in a new government, giving the Labour Party the big win. Keir Starmer taking over as prime minister from conservatives who were in power for 14 years. And Beryl downgraded to a tropical storm, but forecasters say it still poses a threat to South Texas residents. In the coming days, it could gain steam. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ballot drop boxes are back in Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court issued a ruling this morning that means election clerks can use them during the August 13th primaries and the November 5th presidential election. The ruling overturned a decision from 2 years ago that said most drop boxes were illegal. President Biden is in Madison today trying to recover from his widely panned debate performance. Molly Nagel reports.
President Biden will hit the campaign trail Friday in Wisconsin. The White House said Biden will also travel to Pennsylvania this weekend and hold a press conference next week during the NATO summit in Washington. The additions to Biden's schedule follow calls from some Biden allies to make the president more visible after his rocky debate performance.
Molly Nagel reporting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. One person was taken to the hospital and another injured when a boat crashed into a stone wall near the Kewaunee Lighthouse last night. Kewaunee sheriff's officials say the report came in just after 10:30 that a boat with four people aboard had crashed into the barrier. Kewaunee Police, Kewaunee Rescue, Kewaunee Fire, the Wisconsin DNR, and the Coast Guard all assisted in the incident, which remains under investigation. John Plegeman of Sober Green Bay says whether in recovery or choosing sobriety for another reason, you're not alone.
My encouragement is you're not alone. There might be people out there that think, if I give up drinking, I am alone. Right. No, you are not alone. There's probably over 10,000, 15,000 people in Green Bay alone that are sober.
Tuesday night, July 9th, Sober Green Bay and the Green Bay Rockers are hosting Slide Into Sobriety. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
The Brewers head to Dodger Stadium. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers are in L.A. to open a three-game holiday weekend series against the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. Milwaukee's still in first place with a six-game lead over St. Louis in the NL Central. The Dodgers in first place in the West with a six-and-a-half-game lead over the Padres. Tonight will be the debut of 29-year-old right-hander Aaron Civale, picked up in that trade earlier this week with Tampa Bay, against the Dodgers veteran righty Taylor Glasnow, who played for the Rays and the Pirates. Before that, last night in Denver, the Brewers' bats went cold. They lost 4-3 to the Rockies, who had jumped out to an early 3-0 lead. And although the Rockies are in last place, they managed to split the four-game series with the Brewers. Pat Murphy after the loss.
There was a ton of opportunities tonight, I think, and a couple miscues defensively that cost us, but it's tough to have the intensity every night, but we do keep it close, and I'm just, you catch me 15 minutes after the game, I'm going to be disappointed.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high right around 73 this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. It'll gradually clear overnight. Our low 59. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Really excited to be joined by my next guest, Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University's Law School and the head of their incredibly important polling research. Charles, thanks again for making time this Friday. What a Friday it is. There's just been a couple of things in the news today.
Yes, hallelujah Friday after this week. But I'm always pleased to be on. Thanks for having me.
And thanks so much for coming to the Barrymore last night. It was great to hear your thoughts yesterday afternoon with the Devil's Advocates. And it's great to have you today. Let's just jump right in. Do you think the debate is going to move the polling a lot? Like, what's your best guess?
I think it'll move it a little bit. The one snap poll that we saw taken with over 500 voters nationally last night showed 2-1 saying Trump had won the debate. But the vote choice was moved only a fraction, just a point or two both ways, actually. Mm. I think that's fairly common for debates, even lopsided debates, that Biden supporters may well have been disappointed with his performance last night, but that's not likely to make them vote for Donald Trump. It's that 12% or so of undecided voters that we saw in our state poll this week who are, you know, the group that might shift some despite having fairly fixed views of Trump and Biden. Part of the problem is a lot of those folks don't like either Biden or Trump. And so last night's debate may not move them much in Trump's direction because of that.
Yeah, I love this new term we have, the double hater, right? It's like, well, we're coming up with new words for all the new stuff and unprecedented things that are happening these days. Part of my takeaway from yesterday evening's debate, Charles, was that they showed up as such sort of the cliche of themselves. That's what everybody has been saying about both the Trump's a liar and Joe's, you know, an older guy and he doesn't quite have it. Well, okay. So they showed up as their cliches. Is it, I think, you know, Democratic elites, people that are really into politics. Yes, everybody's disappointed and I'm a little angry, but for the double haters, that's why I hate both of these guys. So I kind of ended up in that same headspace. Yeah. Remind us again, what did your snap poll show? Negligible movement, basically. In other words, plus minus on both sides, basically.
Right. This is the CNN national quick poll last night, not mine. And it was about 66 to 33 said Trump did better in the debate, won the debate.
Yes.
But in terms of moving vote preference, it was only a couple of points each direction with, I don't remember the exact number, but almost no net movement. There were people that said, well, I'm less inclined to vote for Biden or less inclined to vote for Trump. But that's not quite the same as I've now decided to vote for Trump or vote for Biden.
Right.
I don't think this is surprising if you look at polling after debates in the past. I think we need a week or two of polling from a variety of sources. And as the debate sinks in or fades, I think one thing about this is, do we see through the weekend increasing panic among Democrats over Biden's performance, or do we see it start to tamp down? And then in the following week or so, do we kind of come back to normal again?
Right.
I remind people that Trump had a disastrously bad first debate in 2020.
Yes.
Came back and had a fairly normal debate in the second debate.
Normal for and Trump, right? Normal for
Trump. Normal for Trump. But it was, well, normal for Trump is probably the best description of it.
Yes.
But my point is, people do recover from bad debates.
Well, that's right. Obama, Romney, he came back. Reagan, Mondale. I mean, Reagan's first debate with Mondale was a total fail. And he ended up winning that race handily. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. And so I guess my caution is, bad debates have not necessarily doomed candidates before. The trouble was last night was Biden didn't just make a single mistake, one big prominent mistake.
Right.
It was his entire delivery was disjointed and hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it alone so I wouldn't be distracted by an audience or other people's reactions. And even under those conditions and listening very carefully, I had trouble following what he was saying. But that was prolonged through the debate. So it feeds this problem that he has. In our data, 76% say he's too old to be president. So this had to simply reinforce that impression. Trump has his own problem. 61% say he's corrupt, and 60% say he has the wrong temperament to be president. Last night, though, was Biden's opportunity to drive home those failures on Trump's part. And I don't think he got that message over very clearly. Certainly, there are Democrats that look at Trump's performance, and it does reinforce their view that he has the wrong temperament. But he was forceful in his presentation, if nothing else.
He believes his own BS. I mean,
it's
very convincing as he lies.
and I think he was practiced at the lines.
That's
the one sort of insider point I'd make. Excuse me. For better or for worse, I actually watched C-SPAN's coverage of both campaigns' rallies.
Mm-hmm.
So I get familiar with what their campaign messages are.
Yes.
I didn't hear anything from Trump last night that I have not heard him do in his three speeches here in Wisconsin since January. In that sense, he didn't bring out anything new. But he had practiced those lines, and that came across in his delivery, no matter what you think of the accuracy or truthfulness of what he said. And the surprising part was Biden seemed unable or unprepared to have responses to those things that if you had watched Trump's speeches, you would have known.
You know what's coming. Yes.
Key points. So that, I think, is sort of the planning failure. And either Biden wasn't able to deliver those rebuttals, or in his debate preparation, they didn't focus on those things. And it showed last night as well.
Yeah, I think they assumed that Trump would be worse than he was. In other words, that he would shoot himself in his own foot and forgot, like, you need to be on offense all the time. Like, that's what people are looking for, better or worse. That's the environment that we're in. Wanted to talk very briefly, if you will. The thing that I was, frankly, completely blown away by in your last poll, Charles, was that a majority of registered voters said prosecuting Trump was the right call and believe that he is guilty. What? That literally left me with mouth agape. And furthermore, most voters, 76%, said they heard or read a lot about Trump's trial in New York. Was that surprising to you? I mean, I was literally shocked by that.
Yeah, that was high attention. For comparison, it was about 65% during the trial that said they were hearing and reading a lot about it. Now, after the conviction, up to 76%. So an increase in that. People didn't skip out on the trial and the conviction. What didn't move very much is the belief that he's guilty. So in our new poll this week, 55% said they thought he was, in fact, guilty. But in our May poll during the trial, it was 54% that thought he had done something illegal. Not quite the same question. So I think this is the part about how the stock price has all this already built into it. That before the trial or during the trial, over half thought he'd done something illegal. After the conviction, at most that moved up by a single point, simply because people had already formed beliefs about that. And so the trial wasn't really new information. I did think that in retrospect, finding 50% who said it was the right judgment call for the prosecutor to charge Trump, does show that even in hindsight, there's not much backing off from that. Of those who said that 42% said that he should not have been prosecuted, 50% said he should have been, and 8% said they didn't know. So again, you see a slimmest majority saying he's guilty, saying he should have been prosecuted. And I think that's interesting that there's not backing off. The one thing to add, though, is only 36% say he should serve time in jail.
Yes.
27% said no penalty at all. 12% a fine, 14% probation without jail. And again, 10% don't know. So almost a majority are saying that some kind of punishment is warranted, but it's less than jail
time. Yes. I thought that was extremely interesting. Last question for you, Charles. We just got about a minute and a half left. Is Eric Hovde self-imploding as a candidate?
Well, he slipped a little bit, but it is early in the campaign. The big thing is 2 months ago in April, 56% said they didn't know enough to have an opinion. Now that's down to 44%. That's the sort of normal progression for a non-incumbent candidate to be getting better known. The trouble for Hovde in this last 2 months is that his favorable ratings went up by 4 points, but his unfavorables went up by 8 points. And so relatively, he's slipping as he's gotten better known.
Yeah, in general, insulting students, people who might have a couple of extra pounds on them, old folks, probably not the best play in the state of Wisconsin.
It still leaves Baldwin up by anywhere from 5 to 7 or even 9 points across the different questions we asked. That's not much change from 2 months ago, but relatively speaking, Hufty's a little less likable than he was.
I'd say he's gosh darn unlikable pretty much all the time on all points. My guest this segment, Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from Marquette. Thanks so much, Charles. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. Very quick couple of messages. We're talking more debate. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Calvin B. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Join Liza Hellenbrand for The Empowered Caregiver every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. The Empowered Caregiver Show uplifts caregivers through education, advocacy, and support, while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. The Empowered Caregiver is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's The Empowered Caregiver, Saturday at 8 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. Heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the debate. What did you think? I always love talking to Charles Franklin, Calvin, because he's in these numbers. He's in these polling statistics all the time, right? And I think Charles just has a really great innate sense, and he backs it up with what is indisputably one of the best polls in the country. But he backs that up with his polling. And so my thanks to Charles, one, for just making the time to come on the show, but also for making me feel better. I don't know if it made you feel any better, but he basically said, and I love the analogy of the market has already priced this information into the stock valuation. Like, again, and this was sort of my point made earlier on the show that these guys performed like their cliche would anticipate, right? I mean, for you, and I know you didn't watch it because you're saving your brain from the pain. How does it land?
I don't know. I was not feeling great about it today.
Yeah.
Charles' information makes me feel a little bit better, but it also, at the same time, if the Democrats are serious about getting a different, better candidate, maybe more drastic poll shift is what we wanted to see.
Oh, that's a really... Calvin dropping some insight bombs here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I love it. Just to extrapolate on Calvin's point, if you were actually going to want to push for a different nominee from the Democratic Party, it would necessitate a much bigger swing in the snap polling done immediately after the debate. That's if I'm hearing Calvin correct.
Yeah, that's the point I was making.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, we shall see. I mean, I think that's a bit of the meta point here is let's see. Because, again, I think most of the people that are undecided, right, or potentially swing voters are in that position not because they don't know who these men are, but because they don't like their choices, and this wouldn't have changed any of that. At least not significantly so, in my opinion. I mean, Trump was just as disagreeable and dislikable as he always is, full of lies. But he delivers them well. I mean, listen, if you're going to lie your butt off, make it a huge lie and say it convincingly and just keep repeating it. I mean, that's the guy's whole life. The art of the deal? What deal? Your dad handed you the business. You've bankrupted all the other harebrained schemes that you've had. Trump Airlines, Trump Steaks, Trump College, Trump Water. Well, my good friend Mark from Prairie du Sac has been incredibly patient, so you are up next, my friend. Thanks so much for coming to the Barrymore last night, Mark. What do you have to say? What do you think?
Yeah, well, thank you, Darlene. I thought Biden had a weak performance. I did notice one error that he made when he said the Border Patrol supported him, where it's the Border Patrol supported his bill rather than
him,
the bipartisan bill rather than Biden himself. With the Supreme Court decisions that came down today and have been coming down, I can't help end with Dobbs, that the Supreme Court basically has made bribery legal.
Yep.
They're going to turn drug regulation and environmental regulation over to judges who might not know jack crap about what's going on.
Yep.
And I can't remember the other one, slips my mind on it today, but they're
the January 6th obstruction and presidential immunity decision. Yeah.
That right there too, because obstruction means obstructing the process.
Of course,
I mean it didn't. It's my understanding it doesn't say documents. They obstructed getting the documents, you know, specifically in the decision that led to this, you know, to Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yep.
That it's just you're obstructing the process, and the whole point of them doing that on January 6th was to obstruct the process.
Yes, it was their specified intent, and they succeeded. I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. Thanks so much for the call, and I'm going to talk about those two decisions that the Supreme Court issued today. The first one is the decision about the obstruction criminal charge that was brought against, I think, some, I forget the exact number, 500-ish people. Trump has two such charges. I'll talk to you all about that case. And also the other case that, in my opinion, will be by far the most impactful case, more impactful than Dobbs. More impactful than Dobbs. On Chevron deference. I'm going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. But I promised you, let me read some texts, and then I'm going to tell you all what I think about it. Well, maybe we'll do some sound first, Calvin. Let's get some sound cuts ready. And I'll start after the bottom of the hour with my final word on the debate. If you want to get in your final words before we move on to, oh my gosh, the Supreme Court is lighting our democracy on fire. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. John Hartman again from Huberta. Simply put, the problem is not incompetent, dishonest, or corrupt, quote, leadership. The problem is the incompetent, dishonest, corrupt electorate who put them in a position to lead. Andrew from Maine, why does the life of a non-viable fetus or blastocyst take priority over the mother's life? Having a little abortion debate. Yeah. Why does Samuel Alito get to say that the mother's life doesn't matter so much? Interesting. Texter from the 608 pointing out that I misspoke a couple of times about conception and those things. Thank you. We're going to try to get that corrected on the record. Andrew from Maine. Also, dear Democrats, the time to run a candidate is before the primaries, not after all 50 states have chosen their preferred candidate. Stand behind the voters that picked the Biden-Harris ticket and push them to November, knowing you have Harris to step up if needed. And stop relying on words and look at actions. We have over 3 years of actions for both to compare. Hooray, Andrew. I could not agree with you more. It's why I've been doing Biden's top 100. I'm taking a pause on that today. Today is day 20 of Biden's top 100. I will combo day 20 and 21 on Monday simply because so much news to cover. Also, on Monday, you are not going to want to miss a minute of that show. We're going to have day 20 and 21 of Biden's top 100, and then I will spend the rest of the day talking about presidential immunity. Chief Justice John Roberts said today, basically, that the immunity decision is coming on Monday. It'll be the last decision they issue from the Supreme Court term. All right, we're just going to run these cuts. Do we have enough time? We're kind of up on it. Well, so we're going to take a couple of really important messages, folks. Brian from Iguanago, I see you. You're going to get another crack at it. We're going to listen to some of the, I think, most important sound from the debate. You can get in your last words and opinions about the debate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll give you my final word, Maggie's final take. And then I'll tell you again about SCOTUS lighting our democracy on fire today. Hey, big shocker. Who knew? The guys that take basically payoffs from billionaires and then decide their cases in favor of them wouldn't have the little guy in mind. I am not.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With all the rain we've been getting across the state, Heather Gayton has been able to see firsthand how her conservation practices on the farm are keeping the soil in place and the water clean. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Heather is a member of the Farmers of the Rocha Cree in central Wisconsin. This is one of the state's 47 producer-led watershed groups. Heather says that in the 5 years that Farmers of the Rocha Cree has been experimenting with different conservation techniques, she's seen a difference in the landscape.
And I do routine testing and sampling on the stream that flows through. So when I'm looking at what times of the year, if there's a flooding event, rain events, things like that, I am following that data. And I've been very pleased to see the nitrates, phosphates going down. I'm seeing some really positive things happening and species of birds and insects that I haven't seen. I didn't see those species or insects on my farm, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But when you see those things and you become more aware of it, it is very exciting, very motivating.
You can find the full conversation with Heather Gayton and learn more about the Farmers of the Rocha Cree at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. We're taking a look at our dairy markets next.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
On the close Friday from Chicago, barrel cheese is unchanged from Wednesday at $1.90 and a quarter. The 40-pound block cheese is also unchanged from Wednesday at $1.90. Double A butter closed down a quarter of a cent at $3.13 and a quarter. Currently, the Class 3 milk contracts are trading up. August milk is up 27 cents at $20.12 a hundredweight. The September contract is up 21 cents at $20.50 a hundredweight. If we take a look further into October, that contract is up 9 cents at $20.33 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Enjoy the rest of the 4th of July weekend.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden in Madison, Wisconsin, taking to the stage at a rally today, trying to shore up support following his poor debate performance. He's vowing to stay in the race. The president later will sit for an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos that airs tonight. ABC's Selena Wang is there.
I've spoken to lawmakers, donors, allies who are really watching for any slip-ups, flubs, missteps, and that's really going to be a signal for them about what they're going to do moving forward. Are they going to publicly come out? Are they going to work behind the scenes to try and make some changes? So really a make or break it moment. The stakes really could not be higher for the president right now.
Voters in the UK ushered in a new government, giving the Labour Party the big win. Keir Starmer taking over as prime minister from conservatives who were in power for 14 years. And Beryl downgraded to a tropical storm, but forecasters say it still poses a threat to South Texas residents. In the coming days, it could gain steam. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new report says people who call the 988 National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in Wisconsin only get help 77% of the time. Things often end badly when a person in crisis doesn't get help quickly.
And frankly, emergency departments are getting so filled up with people with severe mental health challenges that they're experiencing something called ED boarding.
Angela Kimball says that means staying in the emergency room while help is on the way. She's a mental health public policy advocate. State troopers will be watching drivers from buses and large trucks in an upcoming campaign. Wisconsin is averaging 7,000 crashes a year over the last 5 years involving large commercial trucks. 70 people died. The campaign runs all next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matthew Perry had over $1.5 million in his personal bank account at the time of his death. People magazine reports that the late actor wanted his items to be put in an account named the Alvy Singer Living Trust. Alvy Singer was the name of Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His full list of assets has not yet been disclosed. An investigation into Perry's death by the LAPD, DEA, and U.S. Postal Inspector is nearing a conclusion. There is nothing like being on a reality competition show as a celebrity contestant and then wanting nothing to do with it. Such is the case with Jason Mraz. He told Jesse Tyler Ferguson on his Dinners on Me podcast that he thought he would only be part of the show for 2 or 3 weeks before being voted off, but then realized he was one of the better dancers and would be there the entire time. He says he missed his cat so much he wanted out and started asking his friends not to vote for him. Despite this, he still made it to the final round. Not a fan of cats, but I admire the conviction. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high right around 73 this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. It'll gradually clear overnight. Our low 59. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WISS.FM. Your news just for the Oshkosh area. I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from, that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I like the vibe, Kelvin. We gotta chill it out a little bit. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. I got a debate hangover. Not literally, figuratively. Oof. We've been talking debate almost all afternoon. But two enormous Supreme Court cases dropped today. So I owe it to each and every one of you to tell you about those, because they are monumental. One, I think, is going to basically change the fabric of our lives in an absolutely incalculable, unpredictable, or perhaps predictably enormous ways. I'll explain more in a few minutes. If you want to get your last licks in on what you thought about the debate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call and text lines are open. Amy from Madison, she just sent Biden some money. He's the only decent human running for president this year, and I'm including RFK Jr. in that. Yowza! Thanks, Amy. From the 414, I didn't hear the whole show, but I want to know if anybody has brought up the idea that a super PAC should be using clips from the debate and hammering Trump with the lies showing what the actual truth is. Dear Lincoln Project, please immediately issue as many tweets with every single, like a lie counter. Ooh, ooh, Kelvin, that's what we need. We need like a lie ticker. I wonder how many there were. I'm sure they'll have some PolitiFact tally by Monday. We'll talk about it. Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks, Jill from Iguanago. Michael from Tosa. Why did Martha Stewart go to jail for a white-collar crime, but people say that Trump shouldn't go to jail for a white-collar crime? Excellent question, my friend. Oh, we lost Brian. Brian, if you're still listening, wanted to take your call. Just wanted to get the texters in first. Okay, so I owe you all what I think about the debate. But before, let's listen to some sound, shall we, Kelvin? We're just going to run. This is Donald Trump talking about Roe v. Wade, about our economy, about the border, about January 6th. Just run all four of those back to back.
Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do whatever you want. We don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a radical thing. We think the Democrats are the radicals, not the Republicans.
For 51
years. We have the greatest economy in the history of our country. We have never done so well. Everybody was amazed by it. Other countries were copying us. We got hit with COVID. He wants open borders. He wants our country to either be destroyed or he wants to pick up those people as voters. And I don't think we just can't let it happen. What they've done to some people that are so innocent, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What you have done, how you've destroyed the lives of so many people.
Okay. I am not a radical because I do not want someone else's religion dictating what healthcare I have access to. Donald Trump, you're a liar. The economy was driven into the ground by Donald Trump during his administration. We're still struggling with the effects of that. Donald Trump gave the largest tax cuts to corporations and the wealthiest Americans that we've seen in 25 years. Creating the largest expansion of the national deficit by any modern American president. The largest, in fact, of any single term of any president in American history. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Joe Biden doesn't want open borders. Nobody's actually ever argued for that. Zero Democrats of any respectability or prominence have ever said, just open up the borders. In fact, that's not what sovereign nations anywhere really do. In fact, Joe Biden said that he would sign immediately a bipartisan immigration bill that Donald Trump then killed because he wants to act as if he is the only one that cares about the border. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Those that stormed the Capitol on January 6th are not innocent. They're criminals. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Now, in fairness, we got to listen to the pain, too. So, Kelvin, run the Biden bumble.
What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. I mean, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24% or 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with. Look,
he's trying to talk about prescription drugs, by the way. $35
Medicare.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump.
It's just so painful. That's what I almost hit under my chair. Ugh. So painful. Brian from McGuanago. I'm so glad you called back. What do you have to say, sir?
Sorry about that. I had to go pick up a delivery for someone.
But, no sweat.
I'm curious as to why we don't. I don't hear much from the Democrat side about how the so-called pro-lifers and conservatives are constantly going about abortion, right? Or like no abortion being allowed or illegal. But the left is not talking about how those same people are constantly cutting funding for anything for childcare, anything for education. They hate living children. So they're always loving fetuses that haven't been born yet. Oh, it's a life. But once you're born, you get swept aside. We don't care for you anymore. Just vote for us. And that's it. And it's like, that's an easy talking point for the left to just be like, listen, these people are insane. They could not care less about fetuses. It's all a game show. It's all an act. And it's all because they want the religious vote. That's all it is. And that's all I had to call about.
Brian, 100%. Yes, brother. My parents were pro-life when I was growing up. And we walked out of a restaurant once, and my dad had a bumper sticker that said, abortion stops a beating heart. And someone had written on the bumper sticker in a Sharpie, so are you going to pay for the kid? Are you going to raise the kid? ? And my dad, I remember standing out, it was like this thing seared into my memory. My dad said, those are valid points. And he said, conservatives don't care about what happens to kids after they're born. We know that because conservatives in this state have blocked what Tony Evers has tried to do to expand and support childcare, which is almost crushingly unaffordable for so many families. Conservatives in this state and nationwide don't believe in free school lunches for all. They don't even believe in health care for every child. How's your kid going to learn if they're sick and hungry? Can we at least agree on that? We know that Republicans don't care about kids before they're born because they won't expand or extend the Joe Biden child tax credit that he put in place under the American Rescue Plan, which helped keep American families, your family and mine, afloat during the pandemic. It's a bunch of malarkey. Before I tell you my final take on the debate, I want you to take a listen to Joe Biden from North Carolina a little earlier today. Calvin, thank you so much for going to get that sound. Let's take a listen. This is Joe Biden today.
He continued to lie. He said, I quadruple taxes. Where the hell has he been? Which is a simple lie. I didn't raise a tax on anyone in America. They made less than $400,000 a year. And I won't in my second term either. We learned with Trump, who had the largest deficit in any president in 4 years because of a $2 trillion tax cut to the super wealthy. We learned that Trump wants to give another giant tax cut for the very wealthy and the biggest corporations. This time, $5 trillion, not a joke, $5 trillion. To pay for it, he's going to cut Medicare and Social Security. He'll cut health care. He'll do it all. Millions of working middle-class Americans all pay for another tax cut for the very wealthy. Then, to add insult to injury, he wants to raise taxes on the average family $2,500 a year. What amounts to a new 10% tail tax on all products imported into America. That's his new plan. For food, coffee, candy bars, and so much more, it's going to raise the tax on the average family $2,500 a year.
Where was this guy yesterday? I mean, for crying out loud. I'm so ticked off at the Biden campaign. So angry with them. But here's my bottom line, my final word on the debate. I don't think this moves the needle. Not significantly. There's too much time between now and the election. There's a whole nother debate. Those that are deeply in tune with politics cringed, as did independents and swing voters, like, ugh, gosh, that was not a good performance. But they also knew that Trump just spewed out a bunch of lies. It's not, the debate yesterday isn't changing it for swing and independent voters. Now, time will tell. We'll see. There'll be lots of polling. But you know what Joe Biden's brand is? He's comeback Joe. That is kind of what he's known. Today, back in the saddle, high energy. And I already went off on this point, but I am so exhausted by the complete garbage double standard. Donald Trump can say and do whatever he wants. None of it makes any sense. He talks about Hannibal Lecter. He's a obvious and evident psychopath, pathological narcissist. Talks about retribution, and I'm the only one that can save it. He lies constantly. He's a rapist and a fraudster and a 34-time convicted felon. He's a hypocrite of the highest order. He inherited his business. His golden silver spoon, his silver golden spoon, he was born with it shoved up his rump. The Apprentice was a fiction, a figment of reality TV, air quotes there, imagination. They picked the caricature of the caricature, the cliche of the cliche. He's just a snake oil salesman in really expensive suits. He's unfit. Just ask over 100 people that used to work for him. And every small business owner and middle class person that got stiffed by Donald Trump because he doesn't pay his contractors. He's not like you and me. He doesn't care about you and me. That's all fine, but Joe Biden, boy, man, a guy with a stutter, let's punish him. Let's call that unfit. Now, if I'm being completely honest, it's not and shouldn't be acceptable for our country to tolerate either of these two candidates, right? We need better. We deserve better. But Joe Biden has been getting it done for the middle class, and he'll continue to do that. And a couple of other points, Calvin. And I'll share them with all of you after these very brief messages. When we come back, it's the last segment of this Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, my final word on the debate when we come back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
Sneezing, coughing, a stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm not going to get to the Supreme Court cases today, but you know me. I love me some wonk. I'm kind of glad I'm not trying to squeeze it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll do that next week. Monday, I think I'm just going to do all Supreme Court, the whole show. I'm going to break down the Chevron decision, the Jan 6 obstruction decision, and the immunity decision, which will be dropping on Monday. By the way, I've been calling it since oral arguments. It is going to be a plurality decision. It's going to be very fractured. Amy Coney Barrett, I think, will be with the three liberal women in questioning, I think, the breadth of official acts immunity that the five MAGA men on the court are going to carve out. But before we had to take our last break of the day, I was ranting and raving about the fact that there is a ridiculous double standard in politics. Democrats are held to a much, much, much higher standard than Republicans are. I mean, for an example, Calvin, let's take a listen to what Mitch McConnell had to say about Donald Trump's responsibility for January 6th. And I believe he said this right after Trump was acquitted for that impeachment. Let me know when you're ready, Calvin. It's all right. Here we go. This is right after he was acquitted. Here's Mitch McConnell on Donald Trump's responsibility for January 6th.
There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it.
And yet, Mitch McConnell has said he's going to vote for Donald Trump. That's what I'm talking about. Democrats hold other Democrats accountable. And the brass tacks here are this. The man that showed up last night for Democrats on the debate stage wouldn't inspire confidence in anybody. Right? That's not good. But the Joe Biden that showed up today, the Joe Biden that we see the vast majority of the time, does inspire confidence. And even in the bumbling yesterday, guess what was there? A commitment to the middle class, a commitment to you, a commitment to me, a commitment to democracy, and a man who doesn't want to lie. A man who wants to show up for you and me, that cares about you and I. The other guy is a lying clown. So what do I think about this? Today, though I am disappointed, though I am angry, I'm still very proud to say I support my president, and I'll be proudly voting for Joe Biden. I will continue to talk about all of the things that Joe Biden has gotten done for your family, your community, our state, and our families. The rest of it is simply unacceptably un-American. The rest of it is unaccountable authoritarianism. The rest of it is immoral hypocrisy at the highest levels, empowered by a Supreme Court who will declare that presidents are kings, that bribery of government officials is just fine, and oh, by the way, judges will decide what apparently should be the pollution level of PFAS in our stinking water. The Republicans and the MAGA cult of today are anti-small business. They're anti-little guy and gal. They're anti-freedom. They want to tell you what you have to believe, how you have to live, what religion you should be. And if you disagree with them, you don't get to stay here. You don't get to be counted. Your rights don't matter. That's so ridiculous. I'm so sick of the double
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.